Mr. Jay Sekulo, more anti-Semitism out of Representative Omar.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You've since apologized unequivocally for the tweet. You've said, rightly, that anti-Semitism is real. But just to be clear, I mean, we're a few weeks on now.
I mean,
what were you apologizing for? Was it a badly worded tweet that you were apologizing for? Or was it for being anti-Semitic, wittingly or unwittingly?
Oh, absolutely not. I apologized for the way that my words made people feel.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
I want you to just think about this for a moment. Here we are in March of 2019, and the House of Representatives has to take up a vote on anti-Semitism to put a resolution forward in the United States House of Representatives after comments by a member of the Democratic Party and the House of Representatives. So, you know, people are going to applaud that a resolution's coming forward condemning anti-Semitism. I think anytime you condemn anti-Semitism, that's a good thing. But just think about it for a moment that you've reached a point in the body politic where you have to apologize, basically, a vote on an anti-Semitism resolution because of comments from a member of Congress.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's the specific part here, is that it's because of a Democrat member of Congress, Congressman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, who keeps doubling and tripling down on her anti-Semitism, did so again over the weekend, called out by Democrats, that they're ultimately having to vote on this resolution. Now, here, of course, typical Democrat move. Do they name her in the resolution? No.
Of course not.
So, I mean, it's a general condemnation of anti-Semitism. That's wonderful, except for there is a reason why they're having to do this, yet that is ignored in this resolution. So for history's sake, that it's ignored. Why did Congress do this at this specific time? Because of what was happening in their own body by right. One of their own members. That's what is unique about this resolution. And I think would go a lot further for Democrats by saying this is not really part of our party. This is someone who may use a Democrat name but is not, again, aligned with us. And, of course, the second is the actual move you could take, which is to remove her from the Foreign Affairs Committee, which receives classified briefings on U.S. foreign policy.
Congresswoman Omar, though, Than, is still serving on the Foreign Affairs Committee to the United States House of Representatives.
Well, that's why this vote is really meaningless, Jay. It's just words. I mean, look, Democrats have a real problem in their ranks. Anti-Semitism is running rampant in their ranks. And the words of the resolution that allegedly Speaker Pelosi is going to put on the floor of the House tomorrow pretty clearly defines that problem, Jay. But it doesn't take the action that is necessary to start righting that wrong, which, as Jordan said, is to remove Congressman Omar from the committee that sets the foreign policy of the United States, the House Foreign Affairs Committee. This resolution won't do that. It will simply generically call out anti-Semitism, which, again, those words are good, but it's not backed up by actions. And yep. I would just echo this statement by Jordan. Jay, there has been a resolution out since January that names Congressman Omar by name, that names Congressman Tlaib by name, that names Louis Farrakhan and calls out the anti-Semitic remarks that each have made. Jay, Speaker Pelosi is not putting that resolution on the floor tomorrow.
No, she's not. And because we could play it if we have it. And this is Louis Farrakhan talking about Representative Omar.
Miss Omar from Somalia. She started talking about the Benjamins. And they trying to make her apologize. Sweetheart, don't do that. Oh, pardon me for calling you sweetheart, but you do have a sweetheart. Because you sure using it to shake the government up.
So there you go. I mean, the dual loyalty issue, by the way, Professor Hutchinson, has been used as anti-Semitism since Middle Ages.
And this particular resolution by the House is particularly weak. They need to name Representative Omar by name and remove her from the House committee.
You're right, but they're not going to do it. All right, what I wanted your reaction to all this. The reaction to this growing anti-Semitism, but also the fact that it's happening in the United States Congress. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Remember, Matching Challenge Month, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So let me set the stage here. This is the statement that Representative Omar made over the weekend. She's already been accused of making multiple anti-Semitic statements. This dual loyalty issue, this is from the State Department, the myth of dual loyalty, including allegations that Jews should be suspected of being disloyal neighbors or citizens, has been used to marginalize and persecute the Jewish people for centuries for being a stateless minority. That's what the resolution reads. The working definition of anti-Semitism drafted by the State Department, which references the accusation of dual loyalty as an example of anti-Jewish prejudice. And as I said, this is, Harry, this is as old as anti-Semitism, this dual loyalty object.
Yes, there is a tremendous amount of history which suggests that the claims made by Representative Omar are clearly and unmistakably anti-Semitic. And she cannot, in my opinion, deny it. In fact, she and Representative Tlaib have suggested that the charge of anti-Semitism is simply a way of shutting them up. So they fail to recognize the content of their own speech, and the Democratic leadership has doubled down in its fecklessness by refusing to condemn Representative Omar by name, that's number one, and to remove her from the House Foreign Relations Committee.
Which they have not yet done, nor do I suspect they will. All right.
Yeah, let's go to Robert in Maryland, online one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, do you believe that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is going to take any type of action, such as removing this particular congresswoman from their committeeship in light of these anti-Semitic remarks that they're making? I mean, to question the loyalty of Jewish people,
unreal.
You know, just because they're Jewish is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's outrageous. The other thing I wanted to ask you, in addition to that, is this the same congresswoman that has a map on her office, in her office, of a Middle East map without Israel being there, but Palestine being in its place?
I think that's Representative Tlaib, right?
Yeah, who's Palestinian.
Yeah, I think it's Representative Tlaib.
I mean,
what would it be?
You know, could you put that ready to question? Well, she's Palestinian and she's an American, so she can't be a good American because she happens to have this. I mean, you know, no, people, I wouldn't say that. And the idea, you couldn't even say that, but the idea that this is why, let's play the sound for people. What Ilhan Omar has went and saying at this event in D.C. on Sunday that immediately caused, again, this move by Congress.
I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country.
I mean, this is patently anti-Semitic. Now, Than, Robert asked a great question. What action, besides this ridiculous, this resolution they're putting forward, the fact that they put a resolution forward, though, is pretty interesting. But what action should they be taking, and what is likely that they will take?
Well, the action they should be taking at a bare minimum is removing her from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. But, Jay, the very fact that this resolution is going forward and getting a vote on the House floor is ironclad proof that they're going to try not to do anything else. Because, Jay, if they were going to remove her, they wouldn't be taking this vote tomorrow. They would strip her of her committeeship. They might put her on another committee of different jurisdiction, and they wouldn't call this vote tomorrow. And I would tell Robert this. A committee seat, Jay, it's not a right for a member of Congress. You get your seat by being elected. You're sworn in. And then leadership within your party determines who will sit on committees based on the platform that the party leadership wants to put forward in those areas of jurisdiction. So, Jay, I would tell you, even though they're voting on this anti-Semitic resolution tomorrow, if they don't remove her, they're standing behind her position when it comes to foreign affairs by giving her that seat on that committee and letting her keep it.
So, Harry, the fact that they're trying to pass this resolution, what does it tell you?
Well, I think it's a fig leaf for the Democrats. They can claim that they've taken action without really taking action. It's a inside Washington swamp move, if you will, because they have the power to take real action, but they are unwilling to do so. Indeed, individuals like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they have a stoutly defended Representative Omar. And it's very, very possible that Representative Omar engaged in a deceptive election campaign before she was elected by refusing to signal her support, for instance, for BDS. And BDS is constructed on a fabrication associated with the nation of Israel, that it's an illegal occupier, when that is far from the truth.
She also is saying that she's being targeted because she calls it Islamophobia, because she's Muslim. So let's listen to what she said about that.
What I am fearful of is that because Rashida and I are Muslim, that a lot of our Jewish colleagues, a lot of our constituents, a lot of our allies go to thinking that everything we say about Israel to be an anti-Semitic because we are Muslim. And so to me, it's something that becomes designed to end the debate.
So we're not anti-Semitic, we're just anti-Israel. We're not anti-Jewish, we're just anti the Jewish state. That's their argument. That's what you're saying.
Or anti-Jewish people who support Israel.
Right.
She did say that too. So she's, I think, brought this on herself. What she is doing is... defining,
but she's playing to her constituency, isn't she?
To the Somali Muslim constituency in Minnesota, yes. But I think going even further than most of them would, I mean, in taking this, because she's more of a liberal activist than she is a Muslim. Because really, she's actually like doubling down on every bad stereotype of Muslim you can imagine in America, is that they hate Jews, they hate Israel, that's the only issue they're preoccupied by. She's a member of Congress, and this is all she cares about is beating up on Israel and beating up on American Jews.
So, Than, why is it? I mean, think about this. Why is it that the Democratic leadership thinks they have to put this resolution forward if there's not anti-Semitism here?
Because it is politically untenable with even their voters, Jay, to have this position. Look, this is a bipartisan issue across America. The Republican and Democrat voters want their representatives to stand with our strongest ally in the region, and that is Israel. Jay, they know that there will be political fallout at the ballot box if there's not seen to be a response. But what people need to understand, it goes beyond politics here. This is not a real response. This is words, Jay. This is words trying to paper over actions, and frankly, they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, Rachel's called in from New York, online 3. Rachel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, thank you so much.
Sure.
I was just wondering, maybe this is an obvious question, but how did this person ever get to be on this committee?
Well, the Democratic Party is the majority party in the United States House of Representatives. The committee chairman and the speaker select members for the committee, right, Than? And she got selected for that committee.
That's right. It's essentially a choice of Speaker Pelosi. There's a steering committee, but the votes are disproportionately weighted to leadership. And basically, the decision that Nancy Pelosi makes will carry, Jay. So she was proactively put on this committee. It's not like she had any right to it. The Democrat leadership chose to put her on it. But I would tell you this. There's plenty of precedent for a change in priorities, for a change in committee seats. And if the Democrat Party in the House of Representatives means what they're saying in this resolution that is being circulated, Jay, there's an easy action to take. They need to put her on another committee that doesn't have jurisdiction over areas where she has all of these troubling remarks. And by the way, it's not like it's just one offhanded remark. By now, we're up to what? Tripling down?
Yeah, so we need to, I mean, I think what we need to do with the ACLJ is mobilize a petition to just get her reassigned to another. She should not be on the Foreign Affairs Committee. She should be censured by Congress, in my view. But listen, according to a draft copy of the text that was provided to CBS News by a congressional aide, the resolution acknowledges the dangerous consequences of perpetrating anti-Semitic stereotypes and rejects anti-Semitism as hateful expressions of intolerance that are contradictory to the values that define the people of the United States, but it does not mention Representative Omar by name. So then you ask yourself, Harry, this is not being done in a vacuum, right? I mean, this isn't in a vacuum. This is being done because of Representative Omar's comments.
Absolutely. And it's also important to set the stage properly. The Democratic Party claims to oppose both bigotry and hateful speech. But this resolution, properly understood, reinforces bigotry because the Democrats refuse to take real action in opposition to bigotry. And so I think if you look at this resolution carefully, as I said earlier, it's simply a fig leaf, a political fig leaf, and the Democrats can go home and say, we oppose anti-Semitism. We have done nothing about it.
We're getting great calls and comments coming. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me also say that today, or actually tomorrow, ACLJ lawyers will be in New York defending crisis pregnancy centers. There's litigation that we're involved in their administrative hearing on tomorrow. That's Wednesday. On Friday, ACLJ lawyers will be in Annapolis, Maryland, for a legislative hearing on issues involving the issue of life. So the ACLJ teams are dispatched literally around the world, but I always want to give you updates on what we're actually doing. Those two going on this week. We're in a matching challenge campaign, and Jordan's going to tell you what that means, but that's a perfect example of why you should be standing with us.
It's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ because you double the impact of your donation. At ACLJ.org, you'll see the matching challenge logo. Whatever you donate online is effectively doubled. So here's what happens. If you donate $25 right now to ACLJ at ACLJ.org, that's what you're charged on your credit card. We have a donor who's ready to match that. So they match whatever donations come in this month. It's the first matching challenge month of the year. Donate now and double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back, everybody. We had a couple good comments come in, a lot of good comments come in on Facebook and Periscope. We're also taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I want to go through these for our radio audience. We just talked about them on Facebook and Periscope, but I think it's important for the radio audience. Leslie on Facebook asked, Than, are Republicans able to demand Omar lose her position on the committee?
Yeah, and the answer to that is no. The Republican leadership controls the minority slots on the committee, but the majority slots are controlled by the Democrat leadership as the majority power party in the House. So, Jay, honestly, even if there were lower levels inside the Democrat Party that wanted to remove her, they wouldn't be able to do it without the support of Speaker Pelosi. So really, this is in Speaker Pelosi's hands. But as I mentioned in the break, there is precedent, Jay. There's nothing saying that once someone has been seated, they can't be reassigned to another committee based on extenuating circumstances, but this is not in the Republican Party jurisdiction at this point. This is all up to Democrat leadership.
Jane asked on Facebook, why wouldn't Congress mention her by name on the resolution, Jordan?
I think the reason why they refuse to recognize her by name is because they are afraid of the liberal base. They are afraid that even though this is a handful of members of Congress and who are taking these radical leftist positions, which is what this anti-Israel position also is. It's not just something that comes out of the Muslim world in America. It's something that comes out of the radical left in America, pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, and this kind of rhetoric. So they're afraid, even though it's only a handful of members of Congress, that their base has become this. And so to isolate their base heading into 2020 would be very dangerous. And so for political purposes, they're not naming Representative Omar in the resolution. They may tweet about it, issue statements, but they're not going to put it in an official resolution. And they're not taking official action, which they could, by removing her from the committee. They don't want anything on paper that's official, denunciations or removals. They're tweeting about it. They issue statements. Those aren't official, though. Those aren't resolutions condemning her. Those aren't actions removing her from the powerful Foreign Affairs Committee. And I really, truly believe it's all politics, and that voters who care about Israel and care about these kind of attacks should reevaluate their support for the Democrat Party leading into 2020.
So Dan on Facebook asks, Harry, the double standard here is terrifying. A politician simply should not get away with wishing harm on others for religious reasons. And here she's using well-known stereotypes to depict Jews in a negative light.
I think that's precisely correct. But I also think if we pick up on Jordan's analysis, the Democrats lack the courage to confront this type of bigotry. Instead, they are afraid of their activist base. It's not just their base. It's the activists in the party who are pulling the Democratic Party further and further left. And many of these activists believe fictional accounts with respect to the creation of the modern state of Israel. Rather than look at the 1947 UN resolution, which led to the creation of the modern state of Israel in 1948, and rather than look at the boundaries set by the United Nations, many of the individuals in the radical left wing of the Democratic Party basically have accepted the notion that Israel is an illegal occupier, that it is an apartheid state, even though there's no evidence of that. Even though Israel respects the rule of law, it is seen by leftists as the oppressor. Rather than look at the degradation which is going on in many of the Middle Eastern states who refuse to accept the rule of law, they're run by despots, we are criticizing continually Israel. But we're also reaping the fruit, if you will, of the fact that the United Nations has consistently attacked Israel. It is the only nation on earth that is consistently subject to offensive resolutions day after day, year after year. And I think that has prepared at least the left wingers to go even further, to accept full-blooded anti-Semitism and to justify it with a fig leaf resolution, which the House will likely pass soon.
All right, so let me ask you this, Fan. The resolution, there's a reason that the Democrats are putting this resolution up, because there's some flack coming from some of the base within the Democratic Party. They're not naming names. What is it really at play here? What's the real issue at play?
Well, they're trying to paper over a political problem without putting forward a real solution. I mean, Jordan hit the nail on the head when he talked about this being transparently a fear of their liberal base. But at the same time, Jay, they also understand that swing voters in some states and some districts that they need to carry are very much turned off by this anti-Semitism, so they can't just ignore it. So they're really trying to have their cake and eat it too, Jay. But I would tell you that the bigger issue is not a political one. I mean, I think the political motivation inside the Democratic Party is very clear. But what Harry just touched on tells you what's really at play. If you look around the world, Jay, the voice of the United States is oftentimes the only thing that stands in the way between these other hateful regimes moving to try to annihilate the Jewish state. The United States' voice at the Security Council and in other places is oftentimes the only defense that Israel has. So what is at stake is whether or not the House of Representatives is now going to take the side of the rest of the world in this spat against Israel. Jay, the real stakes here, they're pretty high. They're a lot higher than just the political survival of one party.
All right, let's go ahead. We're taking calls, 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope as well. We're going to read those and do some of those on air as well as during our breaks. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, William's calling from Georgia on line 3. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, William.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Jordan. This is my question. Do you believe that the American people that actually voted for Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib were made misinformed, that they have Sharia in their background that could compromise them and cause them to?
I asked Harry Hutchinson, Professor Hutchinson, because he's from Michigan or lived in Michigan. What is the story with that, do you think?
Well, I do think, particularly with respect to Representative Omar, that she did mislead the voters. She hid, for instance, her support for BDS, and then she announced her support for BDS, basically an anti-Israel boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. She hid that support until after her election. And then in November, after she was elected, she came out in support of it. I suspect for Representative Tlaib, she could be more open in terms of her antipathy toward the nation of Israel because she represents a largely Arab population outside of the city of Detroit. And many of the politicians, whether they're Arab or not, tend to oppose Israel for political purposes. So I think Representative Tlaib was freer, if you will, to announce her support for all sorts of anti-Israel resolutions and actions than Representative Omar. But Representative Omar has certainly made up for lost time in expressing her antipathy toward American Jews and the nation of Israel since she's been elected.
And of course, as you all know, we have an office in Jerusalem. We defend the Jewish state. We're defending against BDS, Boycott, Divest, and Sanction, in litigation in federal court in Washington, D.C. right now. Teams of ACLJ lawyers working on that. Also, teams of ACLJ lawyers right now headed to New York for an administrative hearing tomorrow on the pro-life crisis pregnancy centers. And a team will be in Maryland on Friday on a legislative hearing on issues concerning life. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference, especially in a matching challenge campaign.
That's right. Go to ACLJ.org right now, and you'll see the matching challenge banner on the homepage at ACLJ.org. What does that mean? It means if you donate to the ACLJ today online at ACLJ.org, let's say you make a $30 donation. That's what you're charged on your credit card, but we have a donor ready to match that. That means the ACLJ effectively, because of your donation, has raised $60 off of a donation you're only charged $30 for. That's at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So the House is putting forward a resolution on anti-Semitism in light of Congressman Omar's comments, but not naming Congresswoman Omar in the resolution. So, Fan, what is this that's really going on in Washington right now?
It's a fig leaf. It's a political game, Jay, because there are many things they could be doing to actually take action against this. We've talked a lot about removing Congressman Omar from the committee, but there are other things as well, Jay. They could put forward a resolution that's been out since January that actually names the congressman, reminds the members of the committee and the House of the actual statements that were made, which are the only reason this is being voted on in the first place. Or, Jay, they could take up a bill that the Senate passed trying to combat this BDS movement that both Congressman Tlaib and Congressman Omar support. We've been calling for the House to do that. We've been briefing House staffers on that legislation, which basically says that states don't have to fund companies who participate in BDS. Jay, any of those three options would be a real action to combat Congressman Omar's statements, but they are doing exactly zero of them. They're putting words on the floor of the House tomorrow, and they're going to generically condemn it. They're going to put it in such a generic form, Jay, that she's going to vote for it.
Yeah, I think she's going to vote for the resolution that's really in, you know, quietly naming her, really going after her statements. They would, without her statements, Jordan, they would have not raised this resolution.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. I mean, this would
have been, even though it doesn't name her, folks, it is an admission of guilt.
Yes, because it's wonderful to condemn anti-Semitism. You don't really need a congressional resolution to do so if this was just something general. But this has been prodded on by a specific member of Congress's actions. And it happens to be a Democrat member of Congress. And that is why the House has voted. The Democrats are putting forward this resolution, hoping that this will quell a storm, but not upset their liberal base too much. So they condemn exactly what she said without naming the congresswoman. And so giving her the opportunity to even support it. Because, again, she'll say, well, see, I'm condemning anti-Semitism, even though she is being called anti-Semitic over, and I mean, this is every week now. Every single time she has an opportunity to speak, this is her issue. I think when she says she's representing the people of Minnesota, I can't imagine this is the only issue, even if they do care about this issue, that the only issue they're concerned about happens to be Israeli foreign policy, that they're not concerned about the economy or healthcare or education or jobs. But she has a singular focus when she's publicly speaking.
All right, you want to go ahead and take a call? Let's take a call.
Sure. Joel in Michigan on line one. Joel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Joel.
Thanks for talking with me.
Sure.
Hey, on Representative Tlaib, she actually served with my dad. I don't recall if she was serving at the same time as my dad. My dad's been in Michigan politics for a long time, but he was working for the Attorney General up until this last election. He served from, I think, 2002 to 2010 in the state Senate, and previous to that, he'd been in the state House as well for a long time. And when Representative Tlaib made those statements about the president, very inflammatory statements about the president, my dad was actually quite surprised because he told me, I never heard anything like that from her before. I think that she's taken a hard turn left, and I think she may have even been hiding from her constituents until she was elected.
Could be,
was on television as a state rep talking about going lenient on ISIS members of her community who tried to join ISIS. So I think she was at least giving hints, pretty broad hints. The tweets were already out there before she was elected to Congress that she's gone back. And so I think she was giving hints. And now that she's been empowered to the level of member of Congress, her voice has that much more impact. And so she certainly gets more attention than a state representative or city council members. So I think she's always been this way. It's just now getting the attention it deserves.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So Jeffrey on Facebook writes, at what point is enough going to be enough? This unbridled bigotry, you better believe that Republicans would never get away with this. Than, when Republican members of Congress have taken any kind of stance like this, they're immediately removed from the committees by the Republican leadership. And there's, I'm not going to get into names, but there's recent examples of that action, that Republicans saying, you know, we can't remove you from Congress necessarily over this. Your kind of constituents will be up, should really be responsible for that when it comes to speech. But we don't have to empower you either.
Well, I would say for far less wrongs, Jordan, the Republican leadership in the House has understood that putting a member on a committee suggests that the views of that member are the party's views when it comes to the issues under jurisdiction of that committee. And you're right, the Republicans have taken action to remove their members from certain committees. Jordan, the Democrats have not been willing to do it. And I would tell you this. You said, when is enough enough? Well, I think the only reason this resolution is being voted on tomorrow is because Democrats like Nita Lowey, who's been in Congress since the 1980s, see it as a political landmine for their reelection chances. So, you know, you talked earlier about the political peril and the fear that they have of their liberal base. And I think that's true. But I think there's a schism inside the party right now, Jordan. And party leadership is going to have to decide whether or not they stand with these anti-Semitic remarks. Again, I would tell you, they have absolute power, absolute precedent, and the absolute right to reassign her to a different committee with different jurisdiction. But the fact that they're doing this resolution instead, it tells me, Jordan, that they're going to try to stand behind
her. Let's take a listen. Here is a long exchange from Congresswoman Omar on Sunday at the same event. Again, in this statement, what she's trying to do, so listen closely, is compare Israel to the apartheid government of South Africa that fell.
There's so many people. I mean, most of us are new, but many members of Congress have been there forever. Some of them have been there before we were born. So I know many of them. Many of them were fighting. Were fighting for people to be free, for people to live in dignity in South Africa. I know many of them fight for people around the world to have dignity, to have self-determination. So I know that they care about these things. But now that you have two Muslims who are saying, here is a group of people that we want to make sure they have the dignity that you want everybody else to have, we get to be called names and we get to be labeled as hateful. No, we know what hate looks like.
Yeah. Well, we all know what anti-Semitism looks like, and also the anti-Israel, the most hurtful remarks. So comparing, again, Israel to, like, the apartheid government, that this is the situation right now between Israel and the Palestinians, and Israel and the Jewish state of Israel is like the apartheid government, Harry, in South Africa. That is another anti-Semitic trope that's used by Muslims, especially to inflame and incite radicalism inside Islam.
I think that is correct. I think Representative Omar is deeply confused. She represents, or her statements represent, a misunderstanding of apartheid. Under apartheid, for instance, black South Africans were denied the vote. In Israel today, all citizens of Israel are entitled to vote. So that's number one. Number two, there is no evidence, at least that I have seen, which suggests that Israel is illegally occupying territory which rightfully belongs to some other nation or nationality. Indeed, if you look at both world history and global history, it is clear beyond question that the Jewish people have been, for instance, in Jerusalem for thousands of years. We have history on our side. But part of the issue here with respect to Representative Omar and the others on the progressive left is that they are prepared to deny history in order to advance a political objective. And so Representative Omar is prepared to deny the reality that looks her directly in the face. And when she continues to claim that Israel is an apartheid nation, she is engaged in a deep fabrication.
All right, folks, we're going to go 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your phone calls on this topic. Let's go to Connie in Pennsylvania online, too. Connie, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks,
my
Connie.
Question is, after this resolution is put forth, what if she continues to make these anti-Semitic remarks verbally or online or on Twitter or on Facebook? What happens then?
This is the truth. Is at what point do they really think this resolution is going to stop her from making these remarks when she's got, you know, the crowds in Washington, D.C., and she's attending these events and obviously doubling and tripling down? It doesn't matter how many times she's been called out or who she's been called out by, and she says, oh, maybe I'll try, but doesn't really apologize. I mean, I think that they may be putting themselves in a corner ultimately because they're taking, like, these two small steps, to combat this, and then ultimately they may be stuck with having to make a bigger decision.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jordan, because we already know how the congresswoman's going to respond to this. She's going to double down. She's going to triple down because she's been called on the carpet by leadership in smaller ways prior to this, and she has responded by going back to the same well and issuing the same kind of statements. Jordan, I would look to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's defense of the congresswoman as evidence that this is really where a lot of energy inside the liberal base, and you alluded to this earlier, it's really where a lot of that energy is, Jordan. And look, if the House leadership is not going to take a proactive action now against the congressman, if they're going to try to pass this resolution and then deal with the energy that exists behind Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and take both of them on by removing her from a committee, Jordan, that effort is just going to get harder rather than easier. The time to do that would have been long ago. It certainly would be in advance of this. If this resolution gets off the floor of the House, Jordan, I have to tell you, it's going to take something monumental for House Democrat leadership to change their position. They're really digging in with this one.
Yeah, I think, again, folks, so to understand here, this is a very small group, Harry, of very radical activists who got elected, whether it's AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. I mean, it's a handful. But they are, by partnering with like a Bernie Sanders type in the Senate, they're being allowed to dictate so much of the agenda. Whether it's the Green New Deal that all the presidential candidates on the Democrat side sign off on so quickly, even though it's absurd. They're doing it because they obviously see that this is where their base is. Even though the vast majority of newly elected Democrats in the House of Representatives came from a much more pragmatic wing.
I think that is correct. And so a lot of the energy in the Democratic Party has been commandeered by the left. And so you have Representative Ocasio-Cortez, who strongly supports Representative Omar, suggesting that she is now the boss. She's been an elected official for a few months, but she is the boss. She is in charge, and she wants to be in charge of every aspect of our lives. She wants to be in charge of our transportation, our houses. She wants to be in charge of whether or not we can eat steak or not. And she has embraced this radical Representative Omar and Representative Omar's hateful anti-Semitic positions on Israel. And it's really, really sad, but apparently current Democratic leaders lack the courage. They lack the guts to stand up to Representative Omar and to Representative Ocasio-Cortez. That's the problem.
Yeah, but you know, we talk about that being a small part of the base, but it is the most vocal part of this base.
Yeah, it's certainly the
right now,
they,
anyway.
They see that this is where the grassroots movement is going. And you have to have the grassroots movement to get elected, because you can't get elected without having energy on the ground, energy from your supporters. So, I mean, Than, like we've said, even though the most new Democrats in the House, when they took back the House, were not this kind of radical. They actually played up to the middle. Some said that Nancy Pelosi was too liberal for them, and they wouldn't necessarily support her for Speaker. That was the big talking point. We've seen them take a back seat and now being targeted by this leftist group for primaries in 2020.
Yeah, I would suggest to you, Jordan, that was the focus until they got past their voters, until they got elected and got to Washington, D.C., and now all of the energy is aimed at targeting those who ran on a quote-unquote moderate or centrist platform. I mean, the enemies list that we talked about in just the last few days, where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is planning on primarying members inside her party in the next election, Jordan, it's not aimed at people like Congressman Omar, who have this radical, hateful rhetoric. It's aimed at those who ran on that moderate centrist platform. So there is a schism inside the party, but the schism is not over trying to eradicate this kind of hateful talk. The schism is over trying to move the party even further to the left.
I mean, folks, there is a lot to dive into here, especially because we are heading into that election time, and we're seeing the far left policies dominate the Democrat field. Even those who would not consider themselves to be this far left or take these kind of extreme anti-Semitic positions, They are eating up. They're rushing to sign on to any proposal put out by these radical leftists in Congress. And remember, the anti-Semitism, the anti-Israel propaganda is part of the radical left propaganda. It's part of this kind of out there leftist college campus view. So we'll take your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. It's 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Last segment of the broadcast. I've got a question for Than Bennett. Besides oversight hearings, and besides, you know, this investigation and that investigation and passing resolutions on anti-Semitism, what exactly is Congress doing?
Honestly, Jay, they're reacting to these ridiculous things that come up. I mean, the plan was actually to put the Green New Deal on the floor of the United States Senate this week. That has not been able to happen because of this, and then also the National Emergency Declaration resolution that'll move forward probably in the next 2 weeks. Of course,
how does that look in the Senate? Really, what's the story there? What do you think?
It strikes me as a waste of time, Jay, because the House fell 40 votes short of the necessary votes to override a veto of the president, which he has already said that he would issue. I do think it's going to clear the United States Senate by a simple majority, but it's not going to get a veto override majority there. So, you know, honestly, they're never going to get to a second vote on it because it's going to die in the House of Representatives. So taking up time on the floor of the Senate, quite frankly, I think it's a waste of time.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to it.
Yeah, Monty's calling from Minnesota online, too. Monty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Monty.
Jordan, Jay, Harry, Than, how's it going?
Good.
I just have a comment. I'm from Minnesota, and I would just say that Ilhan Omar does not represent the state. I would have to say that, me personally, she's an embarrassment. I don't know how she got in. And
well,
I would
do you live
like,
in her, Monty, do you live in her district?
No, I'm not. I'm real close to it, though.
Yeah, but that's, see, she is, it's an interesting dynamic, because you go ahead and finish, because she represents her district, I think, in at least some capacity. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Well, yeah, and exactly that. She represents her district, which is, it's a very compact community where it's primarily and Muslim, which is fine. But it's definitely a bait and switch. I don't think she would have gotten the majority of vote, or she would have won that election if everybody would have known where her position stood.
Harry, what do you think about that? I mean, is she, you know that area, so it's a heavy Muslim population.
It is, and my wife and I have spent a lot of time in Minnesota because my late mother-in-law lived north of there. But I think it's important to note that she may have gotten a fair amount of support from the Muslim community in her district, but she would not have gotten support from the Democratic leadership in Minnesota if she was known as an anti-Semite. And so it's very likely that she would have lost in the primary.
Yeah.
And so it's more likely than not that that district would have elected a Democrat, but perhaps not Representative Omar. So I think the caller is precisely correct that there was a bit of bait and switch going on. It's also important to note that in the primary election campaign, only a fraction of voters actually vote. So, for instance, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, even in the general election, she won by only getting 19% of the available vote possible in her district. So there may have been a different outcome in Minnesota as well.
Jackie on Facebook asks us, does being a member of the committee grant her access to classified information on her allies like Israel? Van?
Yes, it does. She would be entitled to some classified briefings as a member, even if she doesn't sit on the committee. But the Committee of Jurisdiction, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, would have additional classified briefings. She would be read into additional issues that she would not be otherwise. Jay, there would be some security risk for someone of this background and belief to be in Congress at all. But her sitting on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, it most certainly elevates that issue. One other thing I would say, Jay, I'm not sure I'm quite as convinced as our caller and Harry that this was a bait and switch. I don't think it actually took too much effort to know who she was and who she is. But I would tell you this, whether she took a hard turn or is a recent turn or she's always been this, she's clearly this now. Her voters the next time around, they clearly need to understand what she's all about.
I was going to ask you that because Daniela on Facebook says, do you believe her continued anti-Semitic remarks will affect her reelection next year?
No, it's the most heavily Democratic district in the Midwest and in Minnesota, which is a pretty liberal state, but it's the most Democrat in that. Keith Ellison had the seat before, and none of his remarks, which were somewhat controversial, but not nearly as controversial as Ilhan Omar's, And he's now the state attorney general. So he's been elected statewide in Minnesota.
Right.
And then it's gone to her. So no, I think that that is why she's not going to stop. If she doesn't face any real action, so if she continues to get the power being on the Foreign Affairs Committee, mm-hmm. and that elevates her when she discusses foreign policy, then she's not going to stop, because for her own political purposes, it's not damaging her in the district yet. And that's because she still has the power in Congress. And these condemnations without her name in it mean nothing to her constituents. No one is going to remember. She's going to probably vote for it. I mean, they're out there giving her an opportunity to go on the record actually to condemn anti-Semitism when it is her anti-Semitism that they are condemning.
But the fact that the House of Representatives is having to pass a resolution condemning anti-Semitism is an indictment against the House of Representative leadership.
Absolutely. And it's an indictment of their own fecklessness. And so in many respects, the Democratic Party has been hoisted on its own petard. It has basically said, we oppose bigotry. We oppose discrimination. We oppose hateful rhetoric. And yet they lack the courage to actually do anything substantively when confronted with hateful rhetoric within their own party. And so voters throughout the nation should take that into account in 2020. In other words, maybe Representative Omar will not be removed, but the voters in Michigan, New Jersey, Virginia, you name it, they will have a chance to voice their opinion on the House Democratic leadership going forward.
Dan, how big of a problem is this for the leadership of the House Representatives?
I think it's a big problem, because you've got people who have been a part of their ranks since the 1980s, like Nita Lowey, who are saying it is causing her a political problem. But then you have the Democrat leadership's refusal to do anything about it. Look, I think Congressman Omar is probably likely to get reelected unless Democrat leadership steps in. But honestly, Jay, we can talk about the politics all we want. I think it's a real issue here in Washington, D.C. I don't think they know how to navigate it. They're choosing politics over the issue. But honestly, the issue here is so much more important. Is the United States, is the Congress of the United States going to allow a position to exist on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, not just a random backbench member, a member that puts forward the foreign affairs position of the House of Representatives? Is the majority party in that chamber, Jay, going to allow this position to be one of the ones that is elevated? I think if we get through this resolution tomorrow and it's approved without her removal, I think the answer is probably going to be yes. And Democrat voters, well, frankly, Republican voters too, the next time they go to the polls, this has to be an issue that is vetted before we send members to Congress.
All right. Let me just put it this way. This is an embarrassment to the Congress. And I don't think the embarrassment goes away by passing a resolution that doesn't say who caused the embarrassment. And that's just the position that we have at the American Center for Law and Justice. This is embarrassing that the House of Representatives has to pass a resolution condemning anti-Semitism in 2019. That is necessary because one of its own members is making statements that are perceived and are, in fact, anti-Semitic. All right, that's the end of the broadcast today. But we're in a matching challenge. Jordan's going to let you know how you can participate, continuing the work of the ACLJ, as I told you, lawyers in New York and in Annapolis, Maryland, on the life issue Wednesday and Friday.
Yeah, folks, you go to ACLJ.org. And if you go to ACLJ.org right now on the homepage, you'll see right at the top, it'll say matching challenge. You click on that and you can make your online donation. Donate whatever amount you'd like, it will be matched. You double the impact of your donation. So whatever amount you choose, if it's $40, that's what you're charged on your credit card, is $40. But we have a donor ready to match that $40. So it effectively becomes $80 to the ACLJ. So this is a great time to support our work at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.